3. First, the sermon should not be that long. Just, I want to say that because unbeknownst to me, Pastor Phil covered a lot of what I wanted to cover this evening. So providentially for you all, I think we'll get out of here sooner. But again, the Lord accepts worship that's under an hour, I think. But what I wanted to say is that this is going to be a tough topic. We're going to talk about suffering again. But I think the beauty of the gospel is that the more we wrestle with our suffering, the more we wrestle with the brokenness of this world, the sweeter the gospel becomes, the sweeter the personal work of Christ becomes to us. So I hope that's the case this evening as we talk about some hard things. But hopefully the gospel will be a balm that will heal the wounds that we have. So let us read Genesis 3. We'll just be reading 14 through 19. Hear now the everlasting word of God. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Lord, let the meditations of all of our hearts, let the words of my mouth, let those both be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And we pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. I open with a question. Was life always filled with suffering? It seems to many that suffering is just a given in our lives. But was that always the case? From Scripture, we can give a negative to that, that in the beginning we are told that God made everything out of nothing, and everything that he made was good. He saw even his creation of man and woman, and he said it was very good. God's creation was without suffering. It was full of goodness, beauty, and life. And it was glorious, but as we know, two chapters later, we find that the devil's influence and man's disobedience caused enmity, pain, shame, domination, evil, strife, and death. Sin came into God's good masterpiece and ruined it. It's as if a knife was placed through the painting and slashed all the way down. Sin created chaos and darkness, ugliness and death, and in Genesis 3, we can say that we have found the origin of suffering. Suffering has entered our world as an unwanted guest, but we experience the effects of this in our lives. Specifically, we experience the effects in the brokenness of marriages, of parenting, and work. See, in our passage, we first see in verse 16 the brokenness of parenting. Verse 16, that first part, it reads, "To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children.'" The original blessing that was given to man was going to be now multiplied in pain. What was once pleasurable is now painful. And this is a plain fact because we know that screams fill the delivery rooms of every state. And even here, when we know that our children have been blessed, we know that it came at a cost. The mothers want pain. They want medication to take their pain away. But the pain doesn't stop, right, moms? The pain continues when your kids get a scrape, when they get a boo-boo, when they make a bad decision, when they're naughty. And some of you, your hearts break because you've lost a child. Mothers' hearts break because of an abortion, when they give their child up for adoption. Because we must realize that even though salvation has been promised to all of us, that promise does not alleviate the pain of parenting. See, a mom will always be a mom no matter how old her child gets. Bringing forth a child is a joyful process, but it's also a painful, lifelong one. And yet, an often overlooked cause of the pain that we experience is ourselves. See, as a two-time dad, I guess, an ongoing problem with my parenting is not my children. It's not them. It's me. See, my children don't cause me to lash out at them or my children don't make me punish them disproportionately. See, the reason I parent sinfully is because of my heart. So it's really not that my children need my parenting first and foremost. It's me. I need the parenting of God. And this shows itself when I'm running on empty, when my days are long and it's tough. See, it's in those little moments, those everyday moments, when we tend to lose our control. See, I need much more rescue and relief. Not from my children. I don't need rescue and relief from my children. I need rescue from me. And to make matters worse, we don't just need rescue from our parenting. We need rescue from our marriages. See, we see brokenness in our marriages. If you look at the second half of verse 16, you'll read, "Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." See, in Genesis 4:7, God had told Cain right before he killed his brother Abel that sin's desire was for him. It was crouching at his door, and so he must rule over it. The Hebrew word for that desire is the same word here in verse 16. So marriage, that thing that was good, now marriage is met with brokenness. See, Eve will try to be a good wife, but she'll have a broken tendency to want to master Adam, to be in control. And then Adam as well would start to have a broken tendency to want to rule over Eve. So here, right here in Genesis 3, is the start of marital conflict. Men and women will continue to fight, arguing, trying to get their own way. And this escalation, this conflict, can escalate to verbal, physical, and spiritual abuse. The conflict is prevalent during the honeymoon stage, when you have kids, or when your hair starts to become gray. Instead of being known, instead of being loved by your spouse, we are misunderstood, we are rejected. We fail to create a loving space for each other, to share with one another and to support one another. See, men have a hard time loving their wives as Christ loved the church. And it doesn't surprise us when a man forgets an anniversary or a birthday, when he puts his work above his family, or angrily lashes out with yells, or even worse, a silent treatment. And then women, I've heard, have a hard time following a man's lead as the church is supposed to follow Christ. See, husbands, we might feel that our wives are just nagging us, or they're disrespecting us, they're not following our authority, and they're really trying to usurp the role that we want to have. Is it any surprise then that we read about all the divorces, all the abused, all the abusers? And it comes from the brokenness. The brokenness explains why so many of us want to go to that library and pick up all the latest books on parenting and marriage, because we need an answer. There's a missionary family. There was a missionary family that was from Africa, and they decided to adopt a child. He was a broken child from the poorest of regions. He was a child from a broken marriage. And these were the parents. The parents were an absent father and a mother, addicted and abusive. The child's new parents, the child's parents tried to show him love, but the child had trouble receiving it. He would only obey to avoid abuse. The child worked hard not to be rejected. And the new parents had asked the question if there was any hope for their child. Was there any hope that this child would be unbroken? See, the parents' hearts were full of pain. And then one day, all of this just came undone. The boy could not find his comb, this little black plastic comb. He couldn't find it. So he took his father's comb instead, but he forgot to return it. So when the parents asked if he had taken it, of course the boy said no, of course he did not take it. But the boy forgot the comb was in his back pocket. And so when his lie was discovered, the child did what he always used to do. The child ran. The child ran as fast as he could to escape this certain abuse. So he ran to his room, and he crawled under the bed sheets into darkness. Brokenness in parenting, brokenness in marriages, and now in our text, we come to brokenness in work, verse 17 through 19. And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So instead of the ground being blessed and yielding fruit and abundance, it's going to be cursed with droughts, barrenness, and weeds. This curse directly affects and reaches man. So the ground is no longer a servant to man, but man is a servant to ground. Work isn't a joy. When men work 50 hours, it does not rejuvenate him. In extreme cases, it creates depression so bad that they want to commit suicide. Man spins his wheels week after week, and there's no payoff. He feels that he's on a hamster wheel. He's trying to get his family out of debt. He is trying to pay the bills. He's trying to save up for Christian education. He wants retirement. He's doing good things. He's trying to provide for his family. But the harder the man works, the easier it is for work to bring forth thorns and thistles, pain and sweat. Man's original job description was to tend and guard God's creation. But now, what do we find? Sweat, tears, stress, sorrow. And women, you feel this pain too. Many think that work is all there is to life. Work is what gives people meaning and identity. But what do we do? What happens when we make work our idol? When we think work is the sole purpose of our lives, we distort a good thing and make it an ultimate thing. So we work long hours just to puff up our ego. We may work long hours to create a legacy. We may work long hours to escape the pains of this broken world. But if our solution to escape and make all the bad things go away is to look inside of ourselves or to look at creation, we're going to be disappointed. We cannot hope for an easy life by just trying harder and harder, trying to think positive thoughts, or what if we just try to live better? If our hope in the end is to have perfect kids, a perfect family, or a perfect job, we will not eliminate our suffering. We will just be stuck, hopeless. See, Romans 8:22-23 says this, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains." The whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. And not only that, we ourselves as Christians who do have the Spirit, we groan inwardly for the adoption, for the redemption of our bodies. Because if we're honest, as we saw this morning, it's hard to live in this world. The brokenness is too overwhelming sometimes. See, as women give birth, they may think that birth is going to be the death of them, that death is knocking at their doorstep. And men, we think we're going to work ourselves to death. And as parents, our hearts are so pained that we feel like our hearts are Swiss cheese. There's so many holes in them. We can't find peace or harmony anywhere. It's all filled with suffering. The relations of parent and child, husband and wife, and humanity and creation are all screwed up. Suffering is always going to be certain and often out of our control. Disease, pain, loss can all rise up out of nowhere and completely alter a life. And it's in these darkest moments that we wonder, where is God? Is God even listening? Is he even here? We're stuck wondering, is there any hope at all? But as a Christian, there will always be a light. There always will be a glimmer of hope because we have to say yes. As we don't look at creation to relieve our sufferings, as we don't blame God, we must look to the God who suffered for us. Not to our suffering, but to the God who suffered for us. See, God needed to intervene or humanity would be lost forever. And thankfully, we see that God set out powerfully to redeem and rescue man. If God did not act, there would be no chance for us at all to relieve our suffering or our brokenness. Only God could have done what needed to be done if we were to be delivered from suffering, sin, and brokenness. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, and here's the good news. We have to get out of the suffering, but we're getting to the good news that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, he entered our world, this same world that we live. All that Jesus suffered from the moment he was born until he was resurrected from the dead was to reconcile God to us so that one day we don't have to experience this suffering any longer. Jesus painfully suffered bodily and spiritually. He experienced the repeated assaults of Satan, the hatred and unbelief of his own people, the persecution of enemies, a broken heart, oppressive loneliness, crushing responsibility. Jesus experienced poverty, hunger, thirst, insults, temptations. So Jesus truly knows, as we heard this morning, he knows what you're going through. He empathizes. But that wouldn't be that great of a savior if it stopped there. Jesus doesn't wonder what it would be like to live in this broken world. And Jesus doesn't wonder what it would be like if this world was fixed. If we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we will find healing and restoration. Some of the most beautiful truths of Christianity is this, that if you're a Christian, you are loved by the Father, you are united to Christ, and you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Loved by God, united by the Son, to the Son, and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And these truths change. The gospel will give you a better appreciation for your work. It will give you better clarity as a parent. And it will give you a deeper love in your marriage. Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we now have a Father who loves us as much as he loves Jesus. We are not some unwanted stepchild. We can trust God with everything, with our pains, our questions, with our hurts. And we ask, how is this possible? How can we have a Father who loves us as much as he loves Christ? It's because we are united to Christ himself and to his sufferings. See, Christ is the best marriage partner you can have. But this marriage comes with sufferings. See, the sufferings of Christ, despite its painfulness, actually brings purpose and usefulness. In a way, think of it. You have the last name, Christ, which means little Christian. Christian means little Christ. And you are walking the same road that Christ has walked. And this road is paved with suffering, but our destination is glory. Christ suffered unto glory. And we all will do the same. The brokenness that you suffer is with purpose and usefulness. And you have the ability to put one foot in front of the other, in front of the other, because you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And this doesn't mean our life will be roses, but it does mean that you can view the brokenness and the suffering in a totally new way. Because when you want to pull your hair out because the kids are aggravating, when your boss disrespects you, when your coworkers don't do what they're supposed to do, know that because you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, he is using all of these things, all of the sufferings, to put to death your sin and to not look at creation as a savior. One author said, God is using all of our difficulties here, in the here and now, to transform you, be that the difficulties of parenting, of marriage, or of work, to rescue you from you. That's what we have to come to. We have to know that much of what we go through is because of our sin. But God loves you enough to rescue you from your sin. He will willingly interrupt or even compromise your happiness to do so. He wants to accomplish something more important than your happiness, your holiness. Now, some of you may have thought I forgot about that adopted child. We come back to that adopted child. That adopted child was not prepared for what was about to happen next. He was not prepared for what his mom did after he ran away under his bedspread. Because the bedspread lifted. And the boy's new mom crawled under the bedspread into the darkness with him. The mom gently took the boy's face into her hands and said, "What you have done will not get you out of this family. What you will do, you will never be kicked out, because we adopted you for who you are. What you have done did not get you into this family, and what you will do will not get you out of this family." And you can believe that boy had a change of heart. And God speaks those words to us. What you have done in your past, what you have done now or will do, will not get you into God's family, and it sure won't get you out of his family. You are loved by God the Father, you are united to God the Son, and you are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. It's because Jesus, the Son of God, was good for us. He was able to suffer with us. He came into our darkness and gave us hope and light. See, the Spirit is renewing us now so that we can follow and listen to our Heavenly Father in heaven. And we can say with Paul, who was carried along by the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? That we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs. We are fellow heirs with Christ. And notice this, that's only true provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified. We suffer with Christ in order to be glorified with Christ. For Paul, he did not consider the present sufferings of this world a thing to be compared with, as he was awaiting the glory to be revealed to him. So in conclusion, when we die, or if the Lord comes back, we're going to yield these fruits of suffering. We, the suffering faithful, we will be crowned with honor. With honor that we will no longer have to live in this world. All of our tears will be wiped away. We're going to have right relations with each other again and with the creation, but ultimately we're going to have right relations with God. So let us not look to our sufferings as if they were pointless, but let us look to the one who suffered for us, Jesus Christ, as we wait in joyful hope for the day when our suffering will be healed. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you allow your gospel to be massaged into our hurts, our wounds, our scars, that we may not think that the things that happen to us are random or by chance, but they are designed to bring us closer to you and to ultimately give you glory, Lord. Allow us not to look to ourselves or to our sufferings, but to the one who suffered for us. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.